Hey, it's Mark Manuel on the Q106.5 bonus block. We are joined by Danimal, Dan Hampton, former Chicago Bear and Super Bowl champ. He'll be at the ultimate big game party at the Isle Casino and Hotel Saturday night. Details if you go to Q106online.com. So, Dan, I got to ask, how does a band geek who plays five instruments go from playing just 2 years of high school football into one of the greatest defensive tackles of all time?
Mark, I got to tell you, obviously the hidden hand of the good Lord, I guess. But the story behind the story was, I love football, but I fell out of a tree when I was 12, and I couldn't play because I had fractured the tibia and fibia in both of my legs.
Ouch.
Anyway, I had plates and screws in my heel, and I wasn't sufficiently healed. And yet, I grew up on a farm, so I was hauling hay in the summer. I was big and strong. And ornery, you got to play the game. You've got to have a
right
little mean streak. And I guess I was very lucky. The coach at my high school was patient and basically said, "All right, are you going to try it?" And I said, "Yes, sir, this is the year." He said, "Okay, but everybody else has been working their butts off. You got to put some time in. So I want to see 100 hours of lifting weights and running this summer." And so I did that. And when I completed that, it was obvious that, I'd healed sufficiently. And even though my junior year, I wasn't very good, I was playing offensive tackle. I was 6'6", 240. And yet, by my senior year, it kind of all fell in place. And then, I went on to play at the University of Arkansas for Jimmy Johnson, who's going in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
This coming summer. And I played for Lou Holtz. Then I played for Mike Ditka and the Chicago Bears. So it was, it was a kind of a confluence of right place, right time, right attitude. And I got to tell you, I've got a son. He's 16, and I don't think I've gotten it through to him what a privilege it is to play in the NFL. And it takes a lot of dedication, hard work, all that stuff you hear about. But you got to do it. And once I got the opportunity, it was greatly appreciated. I'll just tell you that it was greatly appreciated.
So as a dad who played the game and all the injuries you went through, and you hear about what's going on now with brain injuries, do you ever have second thoughts about having him play, or you're like, nope, he'll be fine?
No, that's exactly what I'm thinking. He'll be fine. And I'll tell you why. Mark, I'm 62, and I'm in contact with a bunch of my teammates. Some guys that I played with for many years had many, many, many concussions. A guy like Doug Plank, you know who that is.
Right.
Gary Fincic.
Oh, yeah.
They're 65, 6'7". They still work. They're very lucent. I told Gary, I started telling the joke that I told in the huddle in a Monday Night Football game in 1980, and he started laughing because he remembered it. So, I kind of think that, and I don't want to minimize it because I do believe in certain situations that there is, CTE injury. But, the helmets that they wore in the 50s, 60s, and even the early 70s, the pro players like Ditka,
right,
and those dudes, man, they were garbage. They were like Clorox bottles with a face mask.
Right.
And I'm just telling you, go back and look at them. I see him in the Hall of Fame, and I'm shaking my head going, no way I'd wear that. But, the stuff I wore, man, it's like go to the moon with this stuff, the bikes and the Riddells, they're great.
And now they've made improvements beyond that, so it's just amazing.
Sure.
So let's go back to the music for a second. You played, five instruments, right?
Well, and it's almost like, I guess when you get grandkids, and I don't have any, but, they start begetting, and next thing you know, well, when you can play guitar, chords. Well, you can know chords, you can play a piano. You play a piano, then you can learn bass. I played saxophone in the high school band for 6 years. Well, I mean, it's a woodwind instrument, and it's very akin to the clarinet. So I can play sax, clarinet, bass, guitar, keyboards, and drums, because when you're in a rock band, everybody, the drummer always leaves his drums at your house, so
right.
you don't know when he's gone, so you teach yourself how to play it, and that's the way it works.
You use them and drive your parents nuts. So did you ever think that, you know, maybe I should do a music career instead of football at some point, or was football what you really wanted to do?
You know, the chances of, you know, hitting it in music would be, you know, astronomical, but obviously, you know, I mean, everybody, and see, that's, you know, the old maxim, and you hear people, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or President Trump saying, hey, if you find something you love to do for a living, you never have to work.
Right.
It's just something that you do for nothing. And it was almost like that with football. The heart is what made it great. And I, after a while, you know, overcoming the injuries and see, you know, going into the Hall of Fame, yeah, I'm greatly appreciative of that, but I only can wonder what would I have been able to do if I never had a knee injury, never had to have a knee operation, and yet I've had 18 and then two replacements now. So
when
I look at a guy like Howie Long who never had a knee injury, I mean, wow, how good could I have been if I... So I'm just saying, you know, after a number of years, it was almost, and I don't want to say idiotic, but I just said, all right, this is the hand I'm dealt. I can roll up and say, hey, it's too hard. I'm going to, you know, I can't do it no more. Or I can just see how far I can push myself. And that in itself became almost, you know, a reason to believe, a reason to play, a reason to live. And when I finished after 12 years, and that was my plan, I wanted to play 12 years, I said to myself, I said, you know what? I can quit because I could not have played one more quarter, let alone a game. I don't even know if I could have played another 10 plays, 5 plays. I mean, it was over. And in an abstract way, I like the finality of it. Because you see guys, you know, Emmitt Smith, and he was a good player, all-time leading rusher. Dallas basically said, you've been great, but you're not the same, and we got to go in a new direction. Well, he wanted to keep playing, so he went to Arizona, and he had some, you know, nondescript years where he broke Walter's record, but obviously he couldn't quit. Well, I when I had the opportunity to get out, I got out because I knew it was over.
And it's good to go out on top, too. So people don't remember you as being the guy, well, it kind of sucked the last couple of years. People remember you being great the entire time you played.
Exactly. You know, and again, that, you know, that stinks. Obviously, we had an amazing run of success in Chicago. You know, we, the number one defense, I think 3 or 4 years in a row, or the number one seed in the NFL, 2 or 3 or 4 years. I can't remember. You know, think about this. You know, we win the Super Bowl, we're 18-1, and like the Rams, who went this past year, they didn't even make the playoffs. The next year, we had the best record in football at 14-2. And yet, we get beat at home by the Redskins because we didn't have a quarterback. Next year, we had the best record in football again, 13-3. We didn't have a quarterback. We got beat in the playoffs by the Redskins, Joe Gibbs. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we had great success. It was just unfortunate we never had the most important ingredient. And as you look at both of these teams in the Super Bowl, it's so self-evident that, you know, the 49ers are a really good team, and yet Garoppolo isn't the guy that has to play great each and every week. But I think he's a fine player, a damn good player. But we all know Kansas City has no chance without Patrick Mahomes. So,
right.
You know, I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league, and right about, you know, that era is when, if you didn't have a healthy, effective quarterback, teams could do certain things that really, you know, hindered your offense, and ultimately they could win.
Well, I look at that 49ers-Packers game. To be honest, I'm a Packers fan, part Packers owner. But watching that game, and Garoppolo only passed, what, 7 times the entire game, and they still trounced the Packers. So I'm going to go with the 49ers in this game this Sunday. What about you?
Well, that's exactly who I'm looking at. And again, you know, the world of basketball, one player like a Michael Jordan can dominate. You know, the game of football forever and a day is about being a team.
Yeah.
And sure, great players help, But there's no doubting the fact that the 49ers are the second best offense in football running the ball, and they're the number one defense. And being able to field a defensive line like they had, it's very similar to the team that I played on. You know, we led the league in rushing and rushing the passer, and those are common denominators of the great, great team football teams. And again, I'm not saying that the great Patrick Mahomes couldn't be effective and cause issues. But overall, the game is a team game, and the 49ers easily, to me, are the best team. And, you know, illustrated by the fact the Packers are a good team. They were the, number two seed in the NFC, and yet they don't even get close to having any answers against the 49ers. I mean, you know, when you have a quarterback that doesn't have to throw, see, and we used to say this all the time. Buddy Ryan would say, you know what, it's easy to run the ball. It's hard to throw it because you got to protect. You got to have a guy throw the ball perfectly. He's got to catch it. He's got to put it away. He can't fumble. And, he's got to be down the field, you know, in a sufficient manner to get a first down. So, you know, running the ball, hey, if they can run it and don't have to throw it, that's making it easy. And that's essentially what the 49ers did. They said, hey, you're not making us have to do anything other than run over you. And boy, they did. They ran over the Packers.
They sure did. Hey, we're talking with Dan Hampton, former Chicago Bear, Super Bowl champion, at our ultimate big game party this Saturday at the Isle Casino and Hotel. There's a meet and greet session at 6. Ticket information at Q106online.com. So who are the football players you looked up to growing up?
Well, you know, I didn't realize the impact that Walter Payton had. And when I was drafted, I was, you know, basically kind of feeling my way around, and I realized not only is this guy maybe the best player in football, but he's already got a book wrote about him.
Yeah.
I'm from Arkansas. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I don't know anybody's got a book written about him, and here he is. And so, you know, I knew who Dick Butkus was. I knew who, some of the great names like Unitas and Bart Starr and all that, but I really wasn't a football fan. Like I said, I didn't start playing it until 11th grade, but it didn't take me long to figure out, man, what an amazing sport. And, you know, the game of football, there's a reason why, certain segments of the nation are just kind of ate up with it, you know, Friday Night Lights and all stuff. It's just an amazing game. And for me to be able to play against some of the great ones, such as, you know, when I first got in, I got to play against Roger Staubach. I got to see O.J. Simpson at the end of his career. Going up to Minnesota and see, I got to play with Alan Page, part of the Purple People Eaters, and see Bud Grant on the sidelines. And I played one game against Fran Tarkington. So, you know, I mean, it was crazy. All these people that when I was a little kid and we collect football cards, here they are, and I'm catching them and tackling them. It was awesome.
So how did you not get starstruck meeting the people, you know, like Roger Staubach and Butkus? How did you not get starstruck and stay focused on the game?
Oh, you got to have a certain level of hubris to think you can play the same game and play as well. And I was in awe. You know, when Dick Butkus, I think it was 1982, my third or fourth year, he became the color commentator on the WGN radio broadcast. Well, he kind of gravitated towards me to tell him, you know, inside stories on players and this and that. And we became great friends, and I texted him this morning. And I'm just saying, you know, I guess what you would say is, on one hand, you have this great appreciation for these guys. They were bigger than life. And you know, I think Dick Butkus was voted the greatest NFL player of the first 75 years or whatever.
I mean, right.
And yet I text him jokes on my phone all the time. So, you know, in an abstract way, it's been a kind of a crazy relationship. But not only, you know, being, you know, close to Dick and Mike Ditka and Walter Payton, but to know George Halas and be a part of the footing and the foundation of the NFL, you know, no offense to Seattle or Tampa Bay. They don't have anything in a relationship to the history of the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Which is, you know, essentially the, you know, like I said, the foundation of pro football. So to be here, to be a part of it, to now almost 40 years to be a part of it, man, it's almost like, the, you know, I don't want to say a dream come true, because as I'm looking out the window, it's snowing, and I don't like snow when I'm from the South. But it's been an amazing run. And I got to tell you, I love the people of Iowa. I've been to Iowa a number of times in the last year, and I can't believe, and I know that they are Bear fans. They, you know, we've got a few Packer fans like you, a few Viking fans. But back in the 80s and 90s, before the NFL proliferation of television, we had all of our games broadcast into Iowa. And now I guess Kansas City has got a lot of fans there. So I'm looking forward to being in Bettendorf this coming Saturday night, and we'll talk football until the cows come home.
And I will say, being a Packers fan in the 80s, I still followed the Bears, especially that Super Bowl run, because let's face it, my Packers weren't very good then. Where do you keep the Super Bowl ring?
I'm looking at it. It's on a shelf in my office in a black wooden box. Actually, it's like the Hall of Fame rings in a black box. It's in a walnut wooden box that was presented to us the spring after we won the Super Bowl. And quite honestly, I've seen bigger and prettier rings. And I went up to Mike McCaskey when I saw it. I said, "Are you kidding me? You know, they say we're the greatest team of all time, and yada, yada, yada. This is all we did." He goes, "Let go of me, Dan." And he said, "You know, we're the youngest team in football. We're going to go back next year and the next year, and each year we'll get a bigger and better ring." And I said, "Hey, that's a good idea." And yet, there it is, all by itself in that box.
Now, one of my memories of that Super Bowl run, I'm sure you know Spike Odell. He actually got his start here in the Quad Cities. I used to wake up to him every morning. I remember him playing that Super Bowl shuffle song every freaking morning. With all the musical talent you had, you didn't participate in that, did you?
No, I didn't. And, you know, quite honestly, it was my seventh or eighth year, and I had seen, and you know, hey, right here, Peyton, the greatest player in football. He had never been to a Super Bowl. He'd never played in one.
Right.
So I knew it was a very special, special opportunity, and you didn't want to squander it, and you didn't want to, you know, take it for granted. And even though, you know, the whole thing I thought was kind of, it's clever and it's cool and the words are neat, and it just wasn't right for me. And I told Willie, I said, "No, good luck to you guys. I just don't want to do it. I'm kind of superstitious." And even some of my teammates saw that I didn't do it, and they said, "We ain't going to do it either." Colbert and Jimbo Colbert, who is going to be inducted as well this summer into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Steve McMichael, a few other guys. So at the end of the day, it was one of those deals where the kids can blare the rap music. I don't need to hear it, right? So I didn't need to be a part of it.
And quite frankly, if you watch the video from that in today's day and age, you had great foresight. It was kind of cheesy looking back at it now, but
every time I see Fridge, I go, "You're looking at the Fridge. I'm the rookie. I may be large, but I'm not." All right, Hamp.
Yeah.
I said, "No, you did it. It's there forever and a day."
That's right. Hey, tell me about this promotion you're doing to help retired NFL players in need. This is kind of neat.
Well, you know, we all can't be so fortunate that, you know, everything seems to kind of always work out. And some of the guys, they've had issues. And at the end of the day, the NFL, which we've had a group that was led by John Riggins, Joe DeLaMalier, a bunch of really high-class, great American kind of iconic football players. They wanted to get involved. It was a brotherhood, you know? One of the songs, you know, I'm in a band now with Otis Wilson and Steve McMichael, and one of the songs that I wrote was called, you know, "Baddest Team Alive," and it goes, "Looking back all through the years, a single fact remains: we always played like brothers, and you never break the chain." And that's kind of the way, you know, it is when you're in the fellowship of pro football, and whether you came, you're from Seattle or Shinola, you're a teammate. for life. And I got a lot of great friends and buddies that played at Iowa and Nebraska. You know, they're just as close as the guys that I played with in the Southwest Conference. So, yeah, we're always trying to help.
Well, Dan Hampton, it's been great talking with you, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the Ultimate Big Game Party. Danimal, can't wait to see you.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm so pleased to say that can't wait to be in Bettendorf this Saturday night at the Alp Casino, and we'll discuss the pending Super Bowl champion of the next day. I think I know who it's going to be. Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
Dan Hampton, former Chicago Bear, at the Ultimate Big Game Party at the Isle Casino and Hotel Saturday night. Full ticket info if you go to Q106online.com.